The last time we met here together, the topic was salt. Remember? When Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," he was making the point that he needs us to act as a preservative against the wickedness of this world. We learned that if we lose our saltiness or our distinctive Christianity, then we lose our effectiveness as a preservative. We also learned not to pour it on too heavy, but to sprinkle it on in love and humility. We are the salt of the earth. In today's study, Jesus calls us something else. We read from the book of Matthew, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." A light basically has one function: to dispel darkness. It doesn't matter how thick the darkness, when a light goes on, the darkness no longer can remain. That is, if the light's not limited in any way. The light should be somewhere prominent. It should not be hidden away. It won't dispel the darkness if it isn't allowed to shine. It's necessary for us to realize that it's not our light that we project. Our light is our love for the gospel. And that comes from the Holy Spirit that He gives us. And we are to let that light from Him shine through us. "Let your light shine before men, that he may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In our study of light, we should consider some various features. First of all, light is silent. No big noise, no big splash, no banners, no trumpets hailing its arrival. It's like a lighthouse along a rugged coastline. It's a quiet, steady influence. Secondly, light gives direction. There doesn't have to be a big litany of words. No lecture needed to give direction. Jesus says that it's important that others see your actions. About 25 years ago, I was on a softball team. And after the season, a couple of guys came up to me and they shared with me that they were, what made an impression on them at least, was that I was the one guy on the team that never swore. And I didn't know it all season long, but I guess that made an impression on them. And they appreciated it. Thirdly, light attracts attention. No matter how thick the darkness, when a light goes on, people do notice automatically. If you're a Christian on your own local rec team, you are a light in the darkness. If you are part of a Christian family in a neighborhood, you are a light in the darkness. If you are a Christian nurse on a hospital floor or flipping burgers at your local fast food joint, you are a light in the darkness. You are a servant who gets noticed, who gives a message, often without saying anything at all. You know, we live in a world where it's in vogue to purposely bring attention to yourself. We see players on TV who care more for the name on the back of their jersey than they do for the one on the front. Guys who constantly are putting their personal brand out there, saying to everybody, "Hey, look at me." But when we look at Christ as our example instead, we see a much different kind of person. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now, as you practice being a light in the world, there are three things that you can say to yourself as a light: I am different, I am responsible, I am influential. We're going to take a quick peek at each of these. First of all, the first statement, I am different. You know, the prevailing culture tries to get its hooks in me and pull me into the mainstream. And I find that I conform little by little. But God doesn't want me to blend. He wants me to be different. Not an over-the-top, in-your-face, obnoxious different, but to be nicely different, poignantly different, like light in the darkness. Statement two, I am responsible. I am responsible for not allowing my light to be hidden or compromised or obscured. You know, beginning today, December 1st, in Wisconsin, it is against the law to text while driving. And there's a good reason for that. The question is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle that? Perhaps you don't like that law. And maybe you're going to break the law anyway because you don't like the law. Maybe you don't like the cell phone policy in our own classrooms. And how do you handle that one? Well, just a little word to the wise. Sometimes letting your light shine means humbly conforming. Not conforming to the way people in the world conduct themselves, but to what God would have you do. For the love of Christ compels us. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. I am responsible. And our third statement, I am influential. Let's not kid ourselves. The very fact that we belong to Christ and that we don't blend, but that we march to the drum of the holy drummer, the drum beat of the holy drummer, gives us influence in this world. We might not be aware of it at the time, but people are watching and people do notice. Salt and light. That's what Jesus calls us. In each case, He gives us the affirmative. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But each one is followed by a condition. The salt must retain its saltiness or distinctive Christianity. And the light must be allowed to shine. In American history, we just got done studying the Civil War. And I know that Robert E. Lee is not in the Bible, but you know, he makes a fine secular example. Here's a quote about him. He was a foe without hate, a friend without treachery, a soldier without cruelty, and a victim without murmuring. He was a public officer without vices, a private citizen without wrong, a neighbor without reproach, a Christian without hypocrisy. When it comes to examples in the Bible, you can find many. And it's difficult to ignore the Apostle Paul. What a transformation he went through. The former strong-willed Pharisee named Saul became the humble servant of Christ called Paul. He was a leader in the new church, and yet he conducted himself as a servant. Indeed, almost every letter he wrote to Christians started with the greeting, Paul, a servant, or Paul, a bondservant. His humility didn't stop there. Listen to his words to the Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He did not try to hide his faults. He admitted them. He was open. He was honest. He was humble. He even went so far as to call himself the chief of sinners. He was not in it to further himself. He wasn't saying, hey, look at me. He was saying, hey, look at Christ. When people follow a leader that is image conscious, then the leader is exalted. But But when people follow the true and holy light, and they let their light shine, and they do it with a humble heart, then the Lord God is exalted. Let's close with the hymn on the screen.